All right, so what did we leave off with? We just left off with the question of Koach de Teira Adif. So what's the Gemara say? Let's just review quickly. Gemara says, why don't you say Beitza and Tarnagolas? So it says, Lo'odiacha Kochon de Beis Hillel. Right? No, I've got that backwards again. Why doesn't it say Beitza and Tarnagolas? Why does it just say Beitza? So it's Lo'odiacha Kochon de Beis Shammai. See, first it just starts out with the Koach of each person. Of each side, right? The koach, what does it mean to show you the koach of Beis Shammai? I know it's how far Beis Shammai goes, right? The extent of Beis Shammai, right? So then it says, okay, why don't you show us the extent of Beis Hillel? In other words, you have a machlokas here, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel by Mukta. And there are two cases. The question is, which case do you present as the case of the machlokas? Right? Now, in terms of the two cases, there's a case that is most likely to be mutter, and the case that's most likely to be usser, of the two. Right? The beitza is what is most likely to be usser. Of course, it had no possibility of achana, mibo jom, since it didn't exist. And the Tarnagolas is most likely to be mutter, right? Because it's really it's completely as the entity. It's completely intrinsically muchan. Just a question of what you're designating it for, right? And they argue on both. So the question is what? So they're saying if you're going to take the case of the beitza, so then you want to highlight. What? The strength of the side that says the strength of Beis Shammai. That even in the unlikely case of Heter, they're Matir. Right? And if you're going to take the Tarnagolas case, you're going to show the other side. That there is a Koach of Beis Hillel. That he is so Machmir, he holds so much from his idea that you need complete Hachana. That even something that is completely muchan, except in name, is mukta, right? This is a koach of hashita. That is an extent of hashita, right? The shitas are moving in opposite directions, but each one is a certain koach, right? So then the Gemara says, but there's a general preference in this question: how to present the machlokas, and what's that general preference? To present the machlokas from the koach of the heter. Why? What's the koach of the heter? Koach de hetera odif. So Rashi tries to explain what? De hetera odif le. Tov lo l'hashmianu koach divrei hamatir. It's good for him, meaning Rebbe, right? To teach us the strength of the words of the matir. Shehu somech al shmuaso. He relies on his learning. The Eino Yore Lahatir. He's not afraid to be Matir. Of Al Koach HaOsrin, but to show us the strength of the Osrin, the ones who meet in Tarnagolas, Eino Raya. That's not a Raya. What are you talking about? Raya to what? Shakol Yecholin Lahachmir. Anybody can be machmir. V'afilu b'davar ha-mutter. Even on something that's mutter, you could say it's asr. Why would you say something like that? But, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be as afraid. And Tosus also is something similar. That, kishoda matir somech al shmu aso. V'tzarach lehevi raya ledvarov. Aval isura adam yachol achmir olav belo tam. You can be machmir without any reason. but is that what Beis Hillel was doing? I mean, no, obviously not. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so I think what you're saying is good. I think what you're saying is good. Now, the question is, what's the point? What's the purpose? Is it like showing off? Like we want to show off for Beis Shammai how strong they are? just to express their strength? Yeah, so what is Rashi making the point that he's not afraid and he's really sure and sounds like a strength kind of thing. Yeah, and to say that Beis Hillel, you don't need a tam, but of course Beis Hillel had a tam. Yeah, be matir, yeah, okay. So in other words, let's just understand what it means to be matir. In other words, what's the difference between matir and to aser? Which I think you're right, I mean, you're all saying the right thing. That what? It's like we said before, a long time ago. That what is knowledge? Differentiation, the distinction, right? In other words, you start off with an idea of mukta, right? You start off with an idea of mukta, and it's when a person is confused, the person doesn't know, it's because he's not able to make the proper distinctions. He knows there's an isser, and he's not able to differentiate exactly where the isser lies. So he's not able to define the precise element or the character that's responsible for the isser. So he's going to have a wider scope, right? He'll have a wider scope. So over here, let's just think through this example for a second. So over here, what are we going to say? That something has to be considered prepared, right? In order to be usable on Yom Tov or Shabbos. Now, prepared has many different meanings, right? So the most inclusive meaning is going to be, the most, if you're worried about what it might mean, you'll have to take the most stringent meaning, right? Which would eliminate most things. You'd have to say it actually has to be appointed and designated, right? But Beis Shammai is able to say no. It doesn't mean that that's not what it has to be. That's an over inclusion or exclusion, depends how you look at it. Right? He's able to be sure that there are certain things that could be considered not having been mukhan, not having been appointed, not having been prepared in a certain way, and yet they're mutter. Right? Yeah. So what's the point of showing you the koach of the matir? I think what you guys are saying is correct. I think what you're saying is correct. In other words, you don't need a big... The question is, what is the benefit? That's what bothers me. What's the benefit? Is there a benefit to... a practical benefit? Or is it just... Or is it just like the Rambam says? So it says, why does it have cases where the Tanayim say one way and then retract? If they retracted, so just say the final position. So he says it's to teach you a moral lesson. It's to teach you the Madrega that they were on. That they were able to just be Moda al Emes. So there's certain cases where Beis Shammai is Moda to Beis Hillel, or they reverse their position. So the Rambam says in the Hakdamat Perish Shnayas, says, you think they couldn't have come up with an answer to the kasha? You think they couldn't have worked their way out of, figured out a way to maintain their position? Of course they could have. But at a certain point, they heard a kasha from the other side, and they said, you know what? Your way is smoother. So it's to show you that these weren't like turf battles over here. They weren't like the North versus the South or something, or Republicans versus Democrats, where they're just at all costs, they're going to try to save face. They really were after Emes. So that was there's a value in recording that in the Mishnah, right? Or the Rambam says, why is it even recorded machlokes at all? Why don't we just have the psak, right? So he says, no, because if you didn't have the other shitas, somebody might find a shita like that later and think that that was the right way. And now that it records the sheet that we don't hold like, can always say, yeah, that sheet that you heard of, yeah, it's right here in the Mishnah, it's Das Yachid, we don't hold from it. Don't think you found something that we didn't know about from before. You know, so those are practical reasons in terms of in terms of a certain limud of who the Bali Masora are, and a certain idea of preserving the system of halacha, of psak. But what's the purpose over here? Is it also like Shaya is saying, to show you the mastery that Beis Shammai, but it's hard to say that Beis Shammai had a greater mastery than Beis Hillel. And it's hard to say that. But you're just saying it expresses it here. But maybe the thing is like this. When we are studying the question, any inyan that we're studying, right? So like we say, there's a certain generalized expression of an idea, of an isser, right? And then there's the highly refined concept. The more generalized your idea is, the more it's going to include. The more isser it's going to include. The more specific, the less it's going to include. Okay? The less it will relate to. So there's a question in terms of a person studying the area to be, there's a benefit in studying the area to see the limit of the possibilities, even in terms of just understanding any part of it, understanding the general concept. It helps to see without Beis Shammai, it wants to show you, you don't need Beis Hillel, you don't need the more machmir side in order to point to you how inclusive the Isser could be. Right, in other words, to show you Beis Hillel, it wouldn't increase your knowledge of the general topic, because you don't need a real reason to be more makel. You just have to have a more generalized idea of the to be more machmer. You just have to have a more generalized concept of the Isser. But without the koach de hetero, without presenting the heter side, you wouldn't know how far the greatest extent of it is possible to be refined. You don't know how far down it could possibly go. In other words, the direction of inclusion has a natural start. You don't need to highlight how inclusive it could be. But you wouldn't know how far you could possibly refine it without the position of one of the Tanoim expressing the extent that it could be refined. So the koach de hetera is odif for us to, no, that's what he means. It doesn't mean that Beis Shammai had a really good reason and Beis Hillel didn't have a really good reason. It means to say you need a really good reason to get so refined. So we who are approaching the topic wouldn't know it. We wouldn't know the extent that it could go without somebody who had a really good reason already expressing it. But we don't need a Beis Hillel to tell us how inclusive the Isser could be. In terms of our own understanding of the topic, we wouldn't need that. But in terms of our understanding of the topic, in terms of understanding the spectrum or the scope of the range of the possibilities, you always start out with you're starting out already with all the Isser. It's not going to stake out the topic anymore to express the. But there is, right? But what's harder? I shouldn't say there's no need for it, because a total fool, of course, would be confused about anything. That's what the Gemara does say. Well, no, I shouldn't even say that. As you say, it's just harder the other way, because the Gemara does say there is a benefit to have it hemmed in on both sides. It's not like a waste of time. Because there still is a concept to how inclusive it could go. It can't go crazy. Though you don't have to walk around and to say everything and pick it up and say, I'm going to eat this, I'm going to touch this, I'm going to do that, right? And even Beis Hillel wouldn't require that type of a hachana, right? So, but that's that much you don't need. That's not as critical. that's not as critical of a side to show. More critical is the limit. The limit. In other words, the limit in the side of Heter is not really possible to attain without a really strong concept. The limit of the side of the Isser is easier to attain. So it's better to mark off the limit of the Heter to show you the extent of the possibilities. But what always bothered me with the Rambam's answer over there is why the Rambam doesn't say simply that the reason why we record machlokesin is to understand each side better. You know?
You think he's excluding that reason, or he's just adding sort of like
an I don't know.
That seems prescient, that you get a refinement of the position. You understand the one that you hold by. Also.
Right. So why does he need another reason? I mean, he just... Why do you need another reason? Right? That's what I would, if I would take a poll and ask you, why do you have both sides? You would say, obviously, so that you can understand the machlokas better. Right? That's what, when I was in law school, and the professor said, why do we record the dissents? So I gave him that answer. He liked it. But the Ram doesn't use that answer. But we're giving that kind of an answer over here. That's what's just a little worrisome to me. Oh, I see. No, as Morris is saying, you could just state that it's not this. You don't have to say Beis Shammai says this, Beis Hillel says this. You say Beis Hillel says this, and not that. That's true. That's a good point. I mean, you could put the information in without assigning it, ascribing it to a shita per se. That's a good point. To include in which ones. In other words, in terms of the Makel side, in terms of the Chomer side, you don't need as much of a raya to exclude an overly inclusive concept, like to go around to everything that you want to use on Shabbos and pick it up, or make a roshim on it, or something extreme like that. That apparently was a good seichel. You can know that doesn't have a halachic formulation that doesn't have a proper halachic tzura to require something that broad. But you need a raya when you're selecting, when you're getting down to particulars. It means to say that there are a few individual formulations of muchan, and you have to select one from others. How do you know which one to select? That you need a real raya. It's a different type of a process. One is saying, okay, I can see the broadness, and I can have a good idea of being what's overly what's including too many too much already. But when you have the basic concept, and now you have particular forms, how do you know? What the particular, how do you, you need a raya to select one from another, or to exclude one in place of another. That's why they're focusing on you need a raya. That's what he says, Tov lo lashmianu. It's better for Rebbe to teach us this. There's something extra that he's teaching us. Right, it's something extra that he's teaching us. It's better for him to inform us of this. It's more informative in terms of the scope of the inyan than to teach us the bottom. The pinnacle is more informative than the bottom. If I'm standing in front of a tall building, it's hard to tell how high it goes. You can tell where it starts, though. That's not so hard.
In this case, it's not really the refinement of it.
No, he does. In this case, too, Rav Shimon does hold from Muktzah. He holds from some idea of Muchan. He just holds that the Beitza is the final point. That's why we said, like in the Tosfos, you said the rainwater case, for instance, would not be considered a Muchan. According to the Havamina, that the rain is Balua in the cloud. Or, like Tosis holds, the ashes from wood. Rabbi Shimon would not hold it. That's muchan at all, because it wasn't contained anywhere. At least the beitza was contained in another way in the chicken, or whatever the svaras we had over there. But the ashes are not contained in the wood, right? Ashes are not contained in the wood in any way, shape, or form. So he does have a limit. So beitza is really a limit. All right, it's just something to think about. It's not. It's my speculation on this. Okay, well, it's your speculation too.
It's good.
Just putting it together.
All right. Speculation is better than nothing at all.
As long as you know the speculation, yes. Okay. Okay. So now we have Rav Nachman's position. This is really. I'm excited about this next sugya. Very, very interesting. It's a little bit hard. A little term. I'm sorry. It's going to be a little bit of, heavy on the reading. But I think it's going to be worth it.
It was fun. Thank you.
So where are we at? That Rav Nachman is saying that. But Nachman is saying that on Shabbos, we don't need muktzah, because Shabbos is already chomer. So we don't need the extra isser of muktzah. But on Yom Tov, since there's already a kula of ochel nefesh, of isser malacha in general is reduced, if you also didn't have muktzah, if you didn't have muktzah, people would come to be mezalzel in the Yom. So there had to be something extra on Yom Tov because of its intrinsic, reduced stature to the people. There had to be something to fortify it. That's the way Rav Nachman is learning, right? And just because we some reason the tape didn't work yesterday, what was the pshat basically? That Rebbe. Wrote the Mishnayos in such a way to give that to come out with that psak, right? There's no shita like that. This is not a shita. It's not a shita that muktzah applies to yantav and not to Shabbos, because the machloks in the Tanoim are simply what was the takana of muktzah itself, and the takana of muktzah applied to Shabbos and yantav. There was no question about that, and there was just a question of what the form of the takana was. But since there was a machlokas, Rebbe, when he was making the psak, was able to pick one side for Shabbos and one side for Yom Tov. So by Shabbos, he could pass like Rebbe Shimon, and like by Yom Tov, he could pass like Rebbe Yehuda. And we said, it's interesting that it's an external cause, right? It's not from the sugya. It's not from the idea of muktzah itself. It doesn't seem. It seems like he felt on Shabbos was the real psak. But on Yom Tov, he was worried that it would create, it would have a bad repercussion, so he chose the side of Chumran for Yom Tov, right? And we just noticed that the strangest part is Rav Nachman, who says that in order to accomplish this, this psak, in order to pull it off, he had to align Beis Hillel with the Stams. Right, which is very interesting, because Beis Hillel didn't really hold that way, but he had to align the Beis Hillels with the Stams, because otherwise people would read Beis Hillel and think we hold like Beis Hillel, and on Shabbos they would, and on Yom Tov they would. Which way is it? Beis Hillel said what? Right.
Beis Hillel is like Rabbi Shimon.
Beis Hillel is like Rabbi Shimon. So what would happen? So on Yom Tov they would
be Megel.
On Yom Tov they would be Megel. Right. Wait, which is the real one? Do we know which is the real way?
Should be Shabbos, right?
Sounds like Yom Tov, though. Because he's saying Klepas.
The one in Shabbos said what?
Shabbos, he's saying,
and what was it over there? The Shammai in our text of the Mishnah was Machmir, right?
Right.
No,
Beis Hillel was Machmir.
I'm sorry, Beis Hillel was Machmir, like the Mishnah in Beitza.
Yeah.
And Shabbos is really right. Just like we have it in Beitza, right? And he says you got to reverse it.
Right.
Got to make Beis Hillel the Makel in Shabbos, right? Got to make Beis Hillel the Makel in Shabbos.
You have to reverse both of them. You have to reverse Beitza and Shabbos.
They have to be reversed
yeah.
from each other. You don't reverse them both, though.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But isn't the Shita, don't we hold, like we would say, what does Beis Hillel really hold?
We don't really know what Beis Hillel really holds, truth of the matter.
Well, shouldn't you say that Shabbos is the one that he really holds like, whatever he says on Shabbos? Because Yantif is the more, there's an external reason to say that you should be more machmir.
No. All we know is that when Rebbe was machria, the machlokas, of muktzah, he really held. It shouldn't be muktzah. So on Shabbos he didn't have muktzah, but for Yantif he kept it. Yantif he was machmir. Okay. Anyway. So that's the Rif's psak. At the very end of the Masechta, the Rif brings down his psak. Okay. The Baal HaMor is bothered by the psak. Go ahead. Why is he bothered by the psak? He's bothered by the psak because it comes out now that there's something on Yontif that's more chomer than Shabbos, right? And there is a fascinating Gemara, on Yud Ches in Beitza. On Yud Ches Amud Beis in Beitza, that says that even though on Shabbos is no problem to go for a woman to go to the mikvah. Now, it was a question of, do you understand the basic case over there? Questions like this. Can you be tovel kelim on Shabbos? Okay. So Rava says, is it Rava? Rava says you can't. Can't be tovel kli on Yantif or Shabbos. Why? Because it looks like you're misakin kli. It has the appearance of tikkun mana. Right? It has the appearance of tikkun mana. So it's a shrus. Right? Gozer alamid rabbanan. It's dami latakanas malacha. The gozer alamid rabbanan. Because why? Why is it like tikkun mana? It's obvious why it's like tikkun mana, right? Because it's not usable until you do this. So it's like you're making it usable after tikkun. Correct?
Isn't it
tikkun
mana? Why is it not?
Not real malacha. The only isser is a maisa malacha. No, the tikkun mana is going to be a shear in malacha, but there's no real malacha over here.
Isn't
it's nearer kimisakin kli.
Isn't tikkun the malacha itself?
Is tikkun the malacha itself? Yeah, but it has to have a real physical
right,
change.
Right. That's what it was.
Right. So this is like that. So then the Gemara says, so why is a woman allowed, why is a person allowed to go to the mikvah on Shabbos? Right? Why is a person allowed to go to the mikvah on Shabbos? It's also like a tikkun. Okay, it's a little bit further removed. Right? But it's also like a tikkun. So the Gemara says, because it looks like you're just going to cool off. Right? You're allowed to go cool off in water. So it doesn't look like you're doing a maisa. It doesn't look like a maisa of tikkun mana. So the Gemara says, what about on Yom Kippur? Why are you allowed to go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur? Because on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to go and cool off in water. Right? So you're going to tell me that on Shabbos, it would be usur, except for the fact that it looks like you're going to cool off. So it's not nira kimisake. And the whole issue is that it's nira kimisake. It gives the impression of tikkun mana. So if it's not nira kimisake, because the person would not view the individual going to the mikvah as a maisa tikkun, just as a maisa of cooling off, it's hard to imagine that going to a mikvah, but okay. But maybe jumping into a lake, but whatever the case may be. So the Gemara says that's nice by Shabbos, but how could you give that excuse by Yom Kippur? What's the person going to say? He's going to say on the contrary. He's going to say he must be doing tikkun mana. It must be tikkun, because he can't go into be Makara, right? So the Gemara gives a strange answer. It says, you're right. It says, you're absolutely right. But since on Shabbos it's mutter, because it looks like he's cooling off, we cannot make it usr on Yom Kippur. Because then we'd have something on Yom Kippur that's more chomer than on Shabbos. And we cannot have anything that's doma to malacha, Rashi says, that's more chomer on Yom Kippur than on Shabbos. So you're right. The reason exists to be machmir on Yom Kippur. And if there was only Yom Kippur, if there was no such thing as Shabbos, it would definitely have been usr. But since we don't want to asr it on Shabbos, because there's a tremendous benefit to have it on Shabbos, we chose not to. Since there's no isr on Shabbos, we cannot have an isr on Yom Kippur, because that would violate the rule of mi ika midi de b'Shabbos shari u b'Yom Kippur masr. There's nothing that we can say is mutter on Shabbos and is asr on Yom Kippur. Okay, so that's the strength of the Baal HaMor's question. He says, so you see that even when there's a real reason to asr something, we don't. And we're going to go into that Gemara B'in, because that's very important to understand the Ramban, to do that Gemara. But after the Baal HaMor, we'll do that Gemara B'in. But that's the strength of his argument. He says, you see, there's a rule, open Gemara, that anything that is mutter on Shabbos, we cannot have an Isser on Yom Tov, even if it would make sense to have an Isser on Yom Tov. We simply abrogate that din. Okay? So why do we say over here, how can Rav Nachman come along and say exactly that? And now we're going to set up a whole inyan of muktzah that only is going to apply on Yom Tov and not apply on Shabbos. Okay? That's his question. Got it? So now he's going to give us a klal gadol. Okay, prepare yourself, because he's going to give you a klal gadol. Go ahead. Who wants to explain the... you want to read it? Should we read it inside? Okay, so like this. I'm going to give you a klal in the laws of muktzah in order to remove this question from you. Okay, ready? Let's get his rule. Any muktzah... It's a little complicated, right? Any muktzah that... Shebo al davar... Shehano'oso ayidei malacha. So any muktzah that comes on something that whose benefit comes through malacha, right? We'll explain that in a minute. Or a maisa that's mutter on Yom Tov and is usher on Shabbos, like splitting the logs, splitting the wood, or burning the Shivrei Kelim on Yom Tov. So those two things, or Shechitas HaMidbarios, or the milking the Eiz L'chalba, the milking Eiz, or the Rochel L'gizoso, the Tanagolos L'beitzoso, Vatori de Radja. Okay, so in other words, like this. Any type of a case where what? Any type of a case where there's a reason to say muktzah, right? And there already is an isser malacha on Shabbos that would prevent you from doing it anyway. Okay? So for instance, a goat that was designated for milking, right? So what's the din? What's the din on Yom Tov? What's the din in terms of muktzah on a goat that's designated for milking? What's the machlokas? Let's just go through it clearly.
On Yom
Tov, let's say.
So
it's machlokas Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Shimon would say it's not muktzah, and Rabbi Yehuda would say it is muktzah, right? Rabbi Shimon would say it's not muktzah. And Rabbi Yehuda would say it is muktzah. Okay. So if Nachman is saying we hold like Rabbi Yehuda on Yom Tov, so he means in a case like this, where holding like Rabbi Yehuda will create an isser on Yom Tov of muktzah, and there already is a real Isser Malacha on Shabbos that prevents you from doing it even without the reason of Muktzah. Right? You see where he's going with this? Right? That's admissible. Because in result, you're not really going to have anything different. On Shabbos, it'll be Asr because of Malacha. Yom Tov would not have been Asr because of Malacha. But it's okay now to have Muktzah because it's not going to create a Chumrah on Yom Tov that's ahead of Shabbos, because Shabbos already has an Isser from Malacha. In other words, in result, Lemaisa, he holds, you can't have something on Yom Tov that you don't have on Shabbos. So over here, so as long as there already is a prohibition on Shabbos because of Hilchos Shabbos themselves, then we can come and apply an Isser Muktzah on Yom Tov. Because that won't be a violation of Mi Ika Midi Deshari B'Shabbos V'Asr B'Yom Yom Kippurim. Okay.
But on Shabbos, I mean, we were talking about this, but isn't he saying that the Malacha is Kobeya a certain kind of Muktzah? That it's Muktzah which results from the Isser Malacha as opposed to Muktzah which exists independently of Malacha?
Good question. Hold on. V'ein anu tzrichin la'osram b'Shabbos mishum Muktzah bilvad. We don't need to asa them on Shabbos because of Muktzah alone, because they already have an Isser from themselves.
But he's saying it also is Muktzah.
Okay, so what is your question, John? You mean, would you be able to pick up that cow on Shabbos and move it around?
No, I'm saying, yeah, or let's say...
Right, just inside. In other words, anything that is either a Malacha or another kind of a Maisa that is Mutter on Yom Tov and Asr on Shabbos, like these things, right? Zu hi Muktzah she'asr b'Yom Tov k'Rabbi Yehuda. Those are the things that are Muktzah on Yom Tov like Rabbi Yehuda. Umei Eilav hu nesa b'Shabbos mishum Malacha. Disbei. And they get taken care of on Shabbos without any din of Muktzah. Ve'ein anu tzrichim le'osram b'Shabbos mishum Muktzah bilvad. Okay, so what's the question then? So what's your question? Now, are they Muktzah too?
Yeah. Is there a certain where we
elsewhere on Shabbos? All right, let's finish up the whole thing then, and then we'll reflect. But any muktzah that comes on something whose derech hanoah has no muktzah involved, has no malacha involved, or any maisa that's asr on Shabbos, and it's only an isser because of muktzah itself, right? Because of muktzah bilvad. Like what? Like the bones and the klipin, right? Like taking the scraps off the table, the psolas off the table. Why? Because when Shabbos started, they were muchan through the food, right? But they were not muchan for a behema through the food, and the muchan la'adam is not a muchan la'behema. Right, so that's all muktzah in yanim. And now that we took off now that we separated the bones from the flesh, and the shells from the fruit, now they become roy lebehema. Right? The only thing is they were muktzah, right? Because they weren't muchan for behema. So then what? Zehu muktzah shemutter b'Shabbos k'Rabbi Shimon. That is a muktzah that is mutter on Shabbos like Rabbi Shimon. And what about Yom Tov? Ve'en tzarech lomar b'Yom Tov. Of course on Yom Tov. Because it's not possible any other way. U'mikan ata lomad l'kol dinei muktzah amurim b'Shabbos v'Yom Tov. V'har b'mem shelo nishmar ben arif. So the rif wasn't careful in this rule. A lot of cases of the Rif got this rule wrong. U'besof mezech hazu, timsa mehem b'chlal, d'var v'shekosav mimela, Okay, fine. So he criticizes the riff in the end. Like what? Tamri the Iska, right? The riff seems to imply you can have Tamri the Iska on Shabbos and not on Yom Tov, right? But according to him, that can't be. Things that have nothing to do with, right? So it comes out very strange, though, going to the Balamor, right? Comes out against the plain shot in the Gemara. That things, now things that have nothing to do with malachas, with malacha, things that have nothing to do with malacha are what? Are going to be mutter on Shabbos and on Yom Tov.
Yeah. Well, only if it's for sure mutter on Shabbos already.
If it's for sure mutter on Shabbos already.
In other words, can it still be mutter on Shabbos and not mutter on Yom Tov?
Put together the two statements. We have to have those two statements working together. The statement of Rav Nachman is that there's only muktzah on Yom Tov and not on Shabbos, right? And the statement of the Gemara that there's nothing on Yom Tov that's usher, that's mutter. There's nothing on Yom Kippur that's usher, that's mutter on Shabbos. So how do you merge those into one cohesive package? So you're gonna have to say like this: that when Rav Nachman was talking about muktzah on Yom Tov and not on Shabbos, he was only talking in cases where it wouldn't violate that other rule, right? So it has to only be in cases. Now, there's one thing is clear. Rav Nachman is saying there's no muktzah on Shabbos. That's clear, right? Because that's the klipe gozim and the atzamos, right? This says the stam is that is not muktzah.
It doesn't mean across the board. That's just the klipe gozim.
No, that's Shabbos.
Not
of course it is.
Why? There's two different types.
I'm not saying there's no such thing as any form of muktzah at all. Of course, Grogrosh and Samukim, everyone's going to agree about it. Rabbi Yehuda. I'm talking about Rabbi Yehuda. Do we hold like Rabbi Yehuda on Shabbos at all? No, we don't. Right? We don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda on Shabbos. That's the Stam Mishnah. It's like Rabbi Shimon. What's that?
You're like taking the Peshat of the Gemara to say what he holds right now, but the bottom word doesn't fit to the Peshat of the Gemara that we hold like Rabbi Shimon by one or Rabbi Yehuda by the other.
He's trying to take both of the statements and find them how they can work together. Right? So saying Rav Nachman's statement has to be limited to cases where even without muktzah, there would have been a corresponding isser on Shabbos.
I thought it worked out nicely because the stam mission that he brings by
all of Shabbos. In other words, let's just sum it up now. When Rav Nachman said we hold like Rabbi Yehuda on Shabbos, right, and Rabbi Shimon on Yom Tov, so how does that statement translate into actuality? Right. What's the Lamaisa translation? B-Mac. Mm-hmm. What's the Lamaisa explanation of that statement? In terms of Shabbos, it's 100% true. We don't hold for muktzah at all on Shabbos. Right? But when we say we hold for muktzah on Yom Tov, it's only limited to cases where it can apply and not be in violation of the Gemara on Yud Ches. Right, in terms of Shabbos, it's 100% true. And in terms of Yom Tov, it's only insofar as it's limited by the Gemara on Yud Ches. Which means cases where there is a corresponding Isser Mitzad Shabbos Atzma that wouldn't create an apparent difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Okay, so if you were to criticize the Balamor Shita, what would it be, Mars?
Well,
You're being critical.
No, just trying.
Critical is not a bad thing. Critical is a good thing.
I'm just not sure what he was saying. Is he saying just producer can't do anything, so we just have to follow Shabbat now? Like it just comes like Shabbat?
In other words, it lacks some consistency, right?
Yeah, because it leaves a big question mark in the category.
Like, who are we really holding like on Yom Tov? Like, we're going to hold like a half like Rabbi Yehuda and a half like Rabbi Shimon? I mean, how does that happen? I can understand you say we should at least hold like, okay, we don't have to hold like a shita totally on Yom Tov and on Shabbos, but now it gets really confusing. On Yom Tov, who do we hold like? Do we hold like Rabbi Shimon or like Rabbi Yehuda? Well, it depends what the case is. But they're not like a case-by-case shita. They're like a global shita.
But we know for sure that it means that.
So what would the Baal HaMor say? He would say, you're right. We really should hold like Rabbi Yehuda in those cases. But just like on Yom Kippur, we should say it's usher to go into the mikvah, and we just remove that iser. We have to just swoop in and remove that iser here.
I thought you were saying the opposite. That really.
Or the opposite.
No, that really. Right.
There's no rule that anything usher on Shabbos must be usher on Yom Tov. There's just a limitation that you can't have something that's mutter on Shabbos usher on Yom Tov. So in terms of when it comes to Yom Tov and the things that already usher on Shabbos, Rav Nachman says, Rav Nachman said something. It has to be true somewhere. He said we hold like Rabbi Yehuda on Yom Tov. So that's what we really hold like. We hold like Rabbi Yehuda on Yom Tov. All the cases where we don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda on Yom Tov, that's because of another rule. It's not because of how we paskin on Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. That's a separate rule.
I would say when he says Yom Tov, he means that which is unique to Yom Tov, but that which is universal, he's not speaking about.
So what's unique to Yom Tov?
The fact that since there's a difference in the Malacha system, then you're going to have differences in terms of.
So the cases that are Malacha on Shabbos, you can hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Is that what you mean?
He really holds like Rabbi Shimon.
He doesn't say that!
Definitely on Shabbos he does. And now we see.
He never says that! All he says in the Gemara is, we hold like Rabbi Shimon on Shabbos and like Rabbi Yehuda on Yom Tov.
Okay, now what does he mean by that? There's a problem.
So the question is, where? But you can't say that he means the opposite of what he says.
Right, no, I'm just saying
he said that!
No, I'm saying he's talking about a particular case within Yom Tov, meaning Yom Tov, which is that which is unique to Yom Tov, but that which is universal to both of the Yom, that he's not, that he wasn't explaining.
Okay, but we can say for sure then that on the cases that there's a malacha on Shabbos, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda on Yom Tov. That much we concluded?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So now the question is, what about the other half of the stuff, right? The issue that's coming up now is, on Shabbos, is it proper to say on Shabbos he holds entirely like Rabbi Shimon, right? And on Yom Tov, he has a half of Rabbi Yehuda and a half of a void, right? And the half is just a void. Or that he holds on Shabbos and Yom Tov each half and half, right?
Which one were you saying?
The one that makes more sense.
The first one.
Right.
The first one. I was saying the first one. All
right, good.
Okay, good.
No, but the difference is.
I knew somebody was arguing with me.
Where would you go with half and half?
No, you're right. I'm sorry. I misstated that. You can't say on each half and half. You have to say on Shabbos itself, he holds half and half. On Yom Tov itself?
Shabbos you get covered by the malacha.
No, he doesn't want to say that. You don't want to say
Wait,
that on Shabbos.
Yeah, I do.
Now you switch sides. Okay.
No. Let's say he holds it.
No, it's on Shabbos does he hold entirely like Rabbi Shimon?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Then we're all agreeing about that. I'm sorry. And now on.
He switched.
Okay, fine. Now on Yom Tov, on the things that you're allowed to do, who is he holding like?
Rabbi Yehuda.
No, you got your sheets mixed up. On the things that you're allowed to do on Yom Tov.
No, there's no Muktzah on Shabbos.
On Yom Tov.
Rabbi Shimon.
Then he holds like Rabbi Shimon.
Right.
Yeah.
But
why? Why does he hold that? Like, can you tell me that?
Because Because they weren't talking about that.
Why were they not talking about that?
Because they were talking about Yom Tov.
Why?
That which is unique to Yom Tov.
Why? Now's the time for why. Keeps giving me what?
Because then there's a chashash for zilzul, and there's a difference between them.
What?
No, that's not the Baal HaMor's learning. The reason is because they can't be talking about anything that would create a distinction where Shabbos is inferior to Yom Tov. If you don't want to learn the Baal HaMor, that's fine. But if you want to learn the Baal HaMor, that's what he's saying. That's his logic. He says Rav Nachman could not have been contradicting that later Gemara. That's why he's just limited to cases where it would not create a case that the Shabbos is less than Yom Tov. So his statement is just, in terms of Yom Tov, it's restricted to those cases.
Just because...
In fact, I would say Rav Nachman is really saying Al Pi Svara, it relates to the entire Yom Tov that we hold like Rabbi Yehuda. But L'maisa, because of the Gemara in Yudches, it is... It's truncated.
It comes out of the dynamics. Why would you hold up one idea on Muktzah on Shabbos and one idea of Muktzah on Yom Tov? It makes more sense to say we hold up one idea of Muktzah, but there is a problem with Zilzul, and therefore we can take the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda and apply it at some point on Yom Tov.
Zilzul is why we would apply Muktzah to Yom Tov, right? Zilzul is why we would do it, but we're limited by other rules. We can't do it, though, even though it's a great idea, we can't do it if it would create something that makes Shabbos inferior to Yom Tov. Just like there'd be a great reason to make the Tefillah Asar and Yom Kippur, but we can't do it.
Why